We Will Not Be Tamed, a Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation podcast that encourages all Texans to get involved in conserving the wild things and wild places of our state.
I'm Lydia Saldana with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and today we're going to have a conversation with two folks that I've known for a while, and I'm really excited to share this conversation with you. We have Dale Blasingame, a Texas State University professor of practice in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication, and I have to say that he's also the Pied Piper for Texas State Parks. We also have Ty Harkey, who heads the Interpretive Services Branch for Texas Parks and Wildlife Department and the State Parks Division. So I guess, Kai, that means you're a Pied Piper too.
A little bit, yeah, I think so.
Ty's the official Pied Piper.
Yeah, he's the official Pied Piper, and Dale gets to be the unofficial Pied Piper. And Dale, you know, I did a little research before this conversation, which included the article that you wrote for the Texas Parks and Wildlife magazine back in 2016 that chronicled your journey to visit all 95 state parks in a year. Tell us what brought that on. Why did you do that?
Yeah, the short version is I had a dream, and I was not an outdoors person at all at that point. I was a person who stayed home and slept all weekend and played video games and worked and didn't do anything outside. And I had a dream that I drove around the country and visited a bunch of different parks, and it was coming up on the end of the school semester. And so I decided to do that. And so the other funny part is I hated driving at the time. I didn't like being by myself and I didn't like driving. And so I drove from here to Montana, and stopped at several national parks along the way, including Yellowstone and Mount Rushmore and Rocky Mountains. And when I got home, I went into this funk because I had just been on this big epic adventure and felt like I had nothing to do now. And so my girlfriend at the time told me I should go to Hamilton Pool, and Hamilton Pool was full that day, and I was waiting in line out in my car, and a woman came up to me and she's like, "Yeah, you're not getting in, but Pernellas Falls is right down the road." And so I drove down to Pernellas Falls, and the ranger at the cash register tried to sell me a state parks pass, and I have a really addictive personality, and so I asked him how many state parks are there, and he was like, "I don't know, there's a lot of them." And I said, "Okay, I'm gonna do them all in 1 year," and just kind of made that decision on the fly there. And it, a year later, I had done all 95 properties. So that wasn't really the short version, even though I said it was going to be the short version. Yeah, it wouldn't have happened without, you know, three people: the person who recommended I get out that day, and the woman at Hamilton Pool who pointed me in the right direction, and then the ranger at Pernellas Falls who told me about the state parks pass.
Now, Kai, I know y'all probably don't keep records of this, but do you know of any others who have done? I know of one person I know that visited every Texas state park, and that was Carol Dinkins, who was a Parks and Wildlife Commissioner, and she did that during her tenure on the commission. Yep. So she didn't do it in 1 year. But Kai, do you know of anyone else who's done this?
We have one other employee, that one of our employees that helps install signs at our parks, and he hit every one of them, but over a much longer time period. Dale, to knock them all out in just over a year, is certainly the first and only time I've heard of something like that.
I figured somebody would have told me that they had done it also in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, if somebody else had done that. And now my dog's done all 95 of them as well. And as far as I know, she's the only dog who's done all 95 state parks.
The amazing Lucy, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. What I like about that is, like, you know, Lydia, something we do like in Texas state parks, what Dale did, we want everybody in Texas to do what Dale did, but we usually give them a whole lifetime to do it. become aware of our state parks and get out there and visit them and help other people connect to state parks. That's our goal. Dale just did it on steroids. He did it much faster than any of us would have guessed.
And I do need to be completely honest. I mentioned this in the article back in 2016. It took me two extra days. It took me 367 days. That was a year
it
flooded.
We won't tell anybody.
Yeah, thanks. It really flooded in Dallas that year, if you remember. And yeah, the Dallas parks were closed for quite a while. And so it set me back. I would have ended with plenty of time if the flood wouldn't have happened.
You know, Dale, in that article, you said that you found yourself in Texas State Parks. I mean, that really was a life-changing experience for you, wasn't it?
It has changed everything in my life, to be completely honest. I don't just throw those types of phrases around. If you would have seen me in 2015, you would never have recognized me in terms of personality and, you know, just mood and everything that goes into being a human that matters to me now is completely tied to the outdoors and parks in general. And now I'm on a quest to visit all 421 national park properties. So, you know, that is really, I don't want to say it defines me, but it is very much what I consider to be one of, if not the most important parts of my life beyond my family.
That's really awesome. Can you share how you and Kai connected? Or maybe Kai, why don't you tell that story? How did you connect with Dale?
Yeah, thanks, Lydia. Dale was a legend before we connected. So I'd heard of this mythical visitor that had visited everything, all of our parks in a year. And if I remember correctly, Dale, it was Whitney Bishop, our social media coordinator for Parks and Wildlife, that covered some of the stories of Dale and Lucy. I think between she and Louis Bond, our editor for Parks and Wildlife magazine, made the connections that there were some more opportunities here. And I was working very closely at the time with a young adult engagement program. And the fact that Dale was a professor at Texas State, Louis and Whitney helped connect those dots for us. And again, this person who I'd heard about by way of our social media channels and park ranger legend was there sitting in my office one day, and we started dreaming up what kind of projects we could get into.
And so do tell, what did you get up to?
I mean, yeah, the very first thing we had worked on was someone on Louis's team recommended that I do a class with Texas Parks and Wildlife, which was something I was writing for the magazine at the time over the course of 2016. And I had never been able to connect the dots that, oh my God, I teach topics that very easily could be done in the parks, and not only done in the parks, but also to an age group that the parks obviously wants to attract. We came up with our first storytelling in the parks class, and Kai and Tyler Priest, who's now at Davis Mountains, were there to spend the whole weekend with us, camped with us, hiked with us, you know, did activities with us. And that really kicked off what's now been, you know, going on 5 years of collaboration with Texas Parks and Wildlife related to my students. My students have gone on to work for Parks and Wildlife and intern with Parks and Wildlife. I have two interning with y'all right now, I think, and others have, you know, I get feedback all at one of my students texted me the other day. She's, you know, been out of school for a couple of years, but she was actually part of that very first, she was in the second group at Bastrop, but she sent me a text that said, I just hope you know that this class more than any other class changed my life. And it wasn't necessarily like the lessons she learned. It was the experience that prompted her to live her life a different way. And yeah. I like stuff like that just makes, you know, gives me goosebumps. And that's, you know, obviously I want to teach them, you know, what they're supposed to learn in a class setting, but I hope they also get that secondary lesson as well.
That's really amazing.
And Dale, I think you really hit on it well right there. I think that's something you and I share, is this passion for service learning, that we don't have to learn in a traditional way, and we can instead learn in a way that's a benefit to the student and a benefit to an organization. And you've done that so well with the storytelling in a park. And that was our initial connection, was with the State Park Ambassador Program, which Lydia is got its early days with some support from the Parks Wildlife Foundation. And that is a program that we have young adults, and we partner them with Texas State Parks. And again, this win-win that comes from a service learning approach that Dale does so well. We do that in our State Park Ambassador Program as well, that they are learning and putting together projects, social media projects and outreach projects and conservation projects that benefit the park and benefit their own growth and in developing that conservation mindset.
That is really amazing. Now, Dale, on an earlier phone call, you were telling me about another project that you're working on with parks. You want to share that with us?
Yeah, so the next step is, we still do the classes together. That's now expanded out to a national parks program in the past couple of years. So now I take students every summer. We take them to national park properties. Last summer we did Yosemite. This summer obviously got canceled. We were going to go to Olympic National Park. But I've always worked probably harder than I needed to make sure that Texas Parks and Wildlife is still part of that. We do our practice runs in state parks so that the students get an idea of what it's going to be like when we get to the national park. And then the project that you're referring to is I had applied for a grant earlier this year to create a new class on what's called photogrammetry. It's basically using drones to construct 3D models that are embeddable on websites and other platforms. And so, of course, my first idea was I want to collaborate with Texas Parks and Wildlife with this. So I called Kai and we had about a 30-minute phone conversation. And so I'm going to be spending the next 2 months probably after my summer class, now that I don't have to teach my parks class in the summer, unfortunately, I have a little bit of time helping. Well, one, I need to learn this stuff. I need to learn how to do it. So that's a misconception of how college classes go. Like, we have to actually learn it ourselves before we can teach others. but I'm a certified drone pilot. I've got all that down. I've just never done the photogrammetry stuff before. But Kai has graciously agreed to allow Texas Parks and Wildlife to kind of be my learning ground. So we had discussed possibly doing a 3D model of Battleship Texas and some visitor centers around the state that would, one, help Texas Parks and Wildlife show off different properties, but two, also give me some great learning examples. And then my hope is we'll be able to, again, collaborate with Texas Parks and Wildlife to have the students doing those projects in the parks.
And Kai, what do you see the applications for that? How is that going to help Parks and Wildlife?
Sure. It's, it's such a win-win. And specifically, Lydia, we do a lot of our work, in interpretation, is the act of helping people make a connection and fall in love with a resource. And if you live in El Paso, there's a good chance you've never seen or stood on the Battleship Texas. So that's one example. If that's the direction that Dale can go, a benefit that we have is perhaps an interactive, 3D model, a virtual model of this historic, 106 or so year old battleship. And that's something that a visitor anywhere in the state and of course the country can interact with and gain an appreciation for. I think I can also see us taking an approach of with 3D printing technology that we have that's more and more available. Dale, with your work with photogrammetry, I could see us creating some scale models. So Lydia, we can work with visitors that are blind or visually impaired to touch the battleship in a way that they can't otherwise, or touch
the lighthouse formation at Palo Duro.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. Mission Espiritu Santo at Goliad. The list goes on. There's a lot of cool things that can happen from that.
Yeah. And a little sidetrack, because most people, when they think about parks, they think about park rangers. They think about the people that they see at the park when they go to the park. But Kai, just briefly give an overview of what you and your staff do. You mentioned that it's to make a connection. Tell us a little bit more about what your branch does.
Sure. If you think about Dale's journey from that first, I learned about a state park all the way to I'm helping parks. We have staff that help visitors along each step of what we call the staircase to stewardship. So we have outreach programs that raise awareness for our parks by our social media teams, website content. When you arrive at the park, we have all these orientation services. We have staff that, you don't think about it, but we have staff that really work hard on the visitor orientation panels, the You Are Here maps, and our trail maps that have topography to help you stay safe on the trails. And then we have a substantial number of park interpreters, park rangers that are park educators that lead guided hikes and host conservation service projects. We also have staff that are designing exhibits, making interactive exhibits to help people learn and understand parks. And then where I got my start is We have a couple outreach programs to try to welcome new visitors into our state parks. And one of them is the Texas After Family Program, that we take about 5,000 families and partner groups out for their first camping trips ever. Each one of us, the three of us, can think about the first time that we had a really wonderful weekend at a state park. That program, with the support of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, helps about 5,000 people every year have their first camping trips in Texas.
And I should say, Kai taught me how to camp, and despite all my travels already having happened, I had never camped before. And that first trip at Garner, Kai and Tyler both set up my tent for me because I didn't know how to put a tent together. I can attest to the value of that program myself.
And Kai, of course, right now, times are a little strange. You know, we're starting to ease back into a little bit of normalcy. I did notice on was it Facebook or Instagram that y'all have been doing some outdoor family stuff. So you're still out there doing it. You may not be at the parks, but you want to talk a little bit about how you guys are adjusting and pivoting during this interesting time that we're in?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to talk about a passionate group of people whose their job is to connect new audiences to the outdoors and state parks. You can't hold them back. So global pandemic, we can't, you know, interact in person with our visitors in the same way. Well, we'll do it online. So they have just hit full momentum into a lot of virtual programs, helping to host backyard campouts and all the skills that go into experiencing the outdoors. So we are still trying to engage with those new audiences by letting our park rangers that are very lovable personalities and people can begin to follow in them and get excited about what the next program is going to be. We put a lot of that virtual content out these days, and we'll continue to do so. We're going to continue to serve the people of Texas as much as we can in any way we can until we return to normal in some way.
Yeah. Well, you know, just thinking about just engaging people in conservation and engaging people in the outdoors. I mean, we're all trying to do that. And certainly that's what the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation does. And one of the ways that we do that is through a membership program. And I know, Dale, that you're a member at Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. You want to talk a little bit about why you're a member and what that means to you?
I obviously am not a rich person, and I wish I was a rich person so that I had many more ways to help all the programs that really matter to me, but especially Texas State Parks, of course. So I look for ways that I can help. And, one of those is obviously the Parks and Wildlife Foundation and, you know, the outreach that goes into it, the education that goes into it, the funding of programs in the parks, that of course matters a great deal to me. I have my state parks pass every year. I have the license plate. I just always look for smaller ways to be able to do that. I'm being completely honest. I wish it could be more. If I hit the lottery, y'all are going to be my estate, but, anyone, and I talk about this with my students too, anyone can support the parks in whatever way, even if it's just paying the admission to go into the park one day. You are still supporting the parks and all the work that goes into that. And so you don't have to be rich to do it. And one of the best and easiest ways to do that is be a part of the foundation and be a part of the work that goes on in either creating new parks or educating people about the ones we currently have.
Well, and Dale, I can't say enough about how just what you do, what you write about, your articles in the magazine, this podcast, just your love for the parks and how you express it is so important. Don't undercount what that means, because it means a lot. And I want to share that we've asked you to help us at the foundation by sharing some of your adventures. And we're going to be publishing a blog post that you're going to be doing, and hopefully we'll be publishing more of them in the future. We're, as long as you write them, we're going to publish it, Dale. So you want to give us a little preview of the first one that you've written that'll be published soon?
Y'all asked me to write about, the We Will Not Be We Will Not Be Tamed campaign. And when I hear that, I say in the article, one place immediately comes to mind, two places come to mind, but one first comes to mind, and that's Devil's River, which I know Kai is very fond of as well. And so I've shared my adventure of my first trip to Devil's River, which did not go very smoothly. There you go. There's Devil's River right there in Kai's video. Since gotten a lot better at visiting Devil's River, it kind of takes, it's a trip that first time you try to go out there, and
a trip in every sense of the way, right?
Yes, it is a trip in a metaphorical, in a literal sense. That for that first one thing that I didn't share in the blog post that I withheld on purpose, but I guess I'll share now since I already brought it up. that first trip was during, 2015, when I was doing all my park visits in 1 year. And that was before drone rules were in place in the parks. And so I had just gotten a drone with the school. So again, now I teach drones classes and obviously know all the rules and regulations and safety and ethics. Back then, no idea.
Ignorance is bliss, right?
Yeah, none of those were in place. The state parks didn't have any policies in place. And so part of the reason I convinced my colleague to go with me and drive me out there, because my Prius won't cut it on Dolan Creek Road, was hey, we can go fly the drone out there. And we sat in the parking lot and launched the drone. Typical guys, didn't read the instructions, didn't know how to use it, just literally took it out of the box for the very first time and launched it, and it took off. And I remember throwing the controller at my friend, grabbing Lucy's leash, and we literally started running through the brush at Devil's River trying to find where the drone went. And then I heard, like, off in the distance, we were so far away, I heard my friend scream, "We got it, we got it." And he had got it to start communicating with us again. And so a lot's changed since then. But yeah, that whole day was, that's one of those days at the parks that I will never, ever forget from the overall experience of being at Devil's River for the first time and seeing that, feeling that sense of isolation in the best possible way. It's not isolation as in, isolation can be either good or bad, right? I think we've learned that, especially in the past couple months. But that was isolation in the best possible way, to know that there's a piece of Texas that is so untouched, that, it's the cleanest river in Texas, and also just means so much to so many people. And so that will always stand out. And I will never, ever forget that day. We've been back since, obviously, and flew the drone correctly this time with the help of the superintendent of the park.
We share a TV news background, right? And so you're going through that story, and my first thing that pops in mind is, were you rolling?
Well, okay. So here's the even worse thing. Because we didn't read the instructions, we had no idea to hit record. And so we didn't know at the time. Again, you have to remember, this was very early days for drones. We didn't know that you had to connect your phone to the controller in order to record video. And so we spent the whole ride home from Devil's River, 4 hours back to San Marcos, thinking, I really hope we took some pictures. Like, I don't know. I guess it just starts recording automatically. And then we got home and there was nothing on the.
Well, Dale, let me just say that I'm really glad that I was not the producer on that shoot. You would have heard about it.
I'm much happier to say I got really great footage of the river that I'll share in the blog post, in coordination with the superintendent flying under the, in cooperation and collaboration with Texas Parks and Wildlife. To show off the park, because I definitely failed that first day. I don't know that I've ever, beyond a couple of feral hogs coming up to us on the trail at Lake Somerville, I don't know that I've ever seen a bigger look of fear in Lucy's face than when I grabbed her leash and just started running, because it was so unlike me to just start running somewhere. We're hikers, we're not runners.
That is a great story. Yeah,
that day will always go down as probably the most memorable day in a park for me.
That's really awesome. I can't wait to read more of these blog posts. And we also will be sharing some of the videos that your students have put together, because they really are remarkable, really good work. So we're really looking forward to getting those out. And then hopefully when you're back in business again, doing another class, we want to we want to publish and post that material, because I know how important that is to your students to get their work out there. So we're really looking forward to that collaboration.
And it's also good, it's great from it helps. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but it helps when your goal is to reach a younger audience, to have the younger audience be the evangelist. And so, I tell them all when we're beginning this class, like, you don't have to do this, obviously, but my goal is to make all of y'all park evangelists one way or another. And so, there's, like I mentioned earlier, there's a dual mission with those classes. One, I obviously have to reach the learning objectives of the class itself and how to do documentary work and how to, take great photos and all that. But my secondary mission that's not necessarily academic is I want all of those students to at least leave that experience with a greater appreciation for the parks and to share that message with their friends and family.
And of course, that's, Kai, is what you've been trying to do with the Texas State Park Ambassador Program. Do you want to share any outcomes of that or what you've seen as a result of that program?
Sure. It's been a fun program to watch over the years. For so many of the same reasons that Dale enjoys being a professor, that we've watched students help and serve parks. We've watched an ambassador be partnered with the state park that goes through a natural disaster, and that ambassador is there to help coordinate social media efforts in the wake of that disaster. We've had a number of our state park ambassadors that have been that evangelist, that outdoor evangelist, to get their friends out on their first camping trips or their first time pulling invasive species to help improve the ecosystem at a state park. And we've had a number of ambassadors that have started their conservation careers as ambassadors. And for anybody, we love it whenever we see a young adult make the choice to pursue a career in conservation. But, there are so many ways to be a leader in conservation that our ambassadors oftentimes, get that passion through this 5-day kind of high adventure leadership training that they'll go through to start off their ambassador tenure, and then partner with that park. And then they get hooked, just like Dale, just like its students, they get hooked. And maybe they don't come and work for us, but maybe they become members of the Parks and Wildlife Foundation or serve on the board of a friends group at a state park. It lights a fire under them that tends to stick with them the rest of their life.
That's awesome. And, in these last few minutes, because I know I'm really looking forward in the coming weeks. And in fact, next week, me and my husband are going to be visiting Enchanted Rock, and I cannot wait to do that. So I want to close this with each of you just telling me about what's in your plans in terms of visiting parks and getting out there. I don't mean for work, Kai. I mean for fun.
Okay. Boy,
I might actually go first because I have a feeling mine's going to be a little bit more depressing. So hopefully we can end on a high note. I was in the Houston Chronicle a couple of weeks ago regarding the decision to reopen the parks, and I've been pretty vocal about I don't feel right being in the parks right now, and it's not even necessarily a political statement or anything like that. I'm concerned about park staff more than anything, and so I know Texas Parks and Wildlife is going to do everything they possibly can to keep people safe, and it's nothing with that, but I've just been encouraging people to kind of stay in their own neighborhoods for right now and let the park rangers be as safe as possible. That, we play a role from an outside perspective of the safety of everyone in that park, obviously. And so I have no plans right now for the summer. I've already canceled 2 big trips this summer. I have 2 trips planned for July and early August, and I'm probably canceling those trips as well. Those were big national park swings. I am itching to get into a park. Last weekend, I called one of my friends just because I needed her to kind of like keep me grounded and talk me off the ledge a little bit, because it was the weather was beautiful, and I was itching to get out somewhere, but I had to kind of stick to my convictions on that. So I'm not shaming anyone who's going to the parks. Normally I'm the first person begging people to go to the parks. But I just, it's a personal decision right now. And yeah. I don't know when that switch is going to flip with me where I feel okay going. Again, I'm not shaming anyone who's going. But me personally, I'm just, that's something that concerns me from that standpoint.
Well, and
so
I don't mean
to bring the whole room down, but it is something that's been really important.
And it is all about personal responsibility. It's what you feel personally, your responsibility is how to do it. I know my husband and I, we wear masks. We went to Mineral Wells. I'm real glad we have a Texas State Park pass. There was no contact at all. I was also struck because we were at Mineral Wells, I guess that was 2 weeks ago. I was struck by park visitors being very careful, at least the ones that I was around, of avoiding each other. People, not everybody, but most people did have masks on. So you're right. It is a personal choice and it's personal responsibility.
And quite frankly, that's fantastic to hear. That's obviously the goal, right? Is that if people are going to go, they're going to be incredibly responsible for everyone's sake, especially the Rangers who are having to be there. Mm-hmm. And be in contact, or not contact, but be around everyone. Like, we can go to a park and stay alone by ourselves, but we are probably going to at some point run into a ranger or be in the general vicinity. So that's great to hear that was your experience. And I hope everyone takes that to heart. If they're going to go to a park, at least, you know, do what you can to be as safe as humanly possible. And I feel so weird telling people to not visit parks, because for the past 5 years, that's all I've done. It just, I understand why people are going. I want to be there as badly as anyone. And I'm hoping that changes soon.
Okay. And Kai, you want to bring us back up, Kai?
Yeah, please.
Sure. Thank you both for those perspectives. Yes. Yeah. For me, you know, in this, what keeps me motivated, like thinking about like the time whenever I feel safe and comfortable traveling again, Lydia J. Kleberg is a little bit of an adventure idol for me.
Yes.
So I'm going to follow in his footsteps a couple different things. I'm hoping to do the Texas Water Safari, canoe race from San Marcos Dale to down to the coast. That's been delayed this year. It's currently planned for September. Perhaps it might be canceled altogether. We don't know. But I'm hoping to throw my hat into that ring. And then also I dream about hiking the entire ridge line of the Franklin Mountains, which is a burly trip. And I've gotten, I failed once already. And so I'm excited to give it another try. So that's kind of two opposite ends of the states. I've got some adventures that I got cooking up that I hope to get to you at some point whenever it's safe.
Now, this is your first Texas Water Safari, right?
That would be my first one, yeah.
Okay. Do you know Pamela Blanc?
Oh, I sure do. Yeah. So another adventure idol of mine.
Yes, you need to connect with her because she did her first Texas Water Safari last year.
That's right.
And then one of our former We Will Not Be Named ambassadors, Debbie Richardson, she's amazing. And she's done it like, I think 12 times, maybe 13 times. But I would love to connect you. I know she would be happy to talk with you. So we'll do that
excellent,
offline.
Excellent. Yeah, please do.
One thing that I'll end, just so I don't seem like Debbie Downer, there is such a incredibly strong connection between myself and Palo Duro Canyon and Caprock Canyons and my family. My family all lives up in the Panhandle, and those parks to me are so closely associated with family time, even if my family doesn't necessarily join me at those parks all that often. And so I literally have been having dreams of Palo Duro and Caprocks, and I cannot explain how badly I want to be there. And because I know that means I'm seeing my family too. And, it was my dad's 90th birthday a couple of weeks ago, and we had to have a Zoom party instead of being there in person. And so those things to me, it's not just family. It's all of those things. It's family and the parks and how they're all intertwined. And, I am literally counting down to the days where that mental switch flips for me, and I feel okay with it personally. And so those will probably be the very first places I go, to be completely honest, is going to be straight up to the Panhandle and back to Lucy and I's comfort zone, which is, the trails at Palo Duro, which we hike multiple times every year. Every single time I'm seeing my family, we're at Palo Duro just about every other day usually. So. Can't wait to do that again.
Well, thank you. Thank you both for taking the time to be with us. Dale, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for everything you do for spreading the gospel of state parks. And Kai, thank you for everything you do every day for Texas State Parks. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lydia.
Brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, We Will Not Be Tamed calls us all to appreciate the wildness of Texas, the vastness of our Texas spirit, and why we should be inspired to conserve it. Find out more at wewillnotbetamed.org.